Welcome, church. Welcome to all the people in the overflow room, including my lovely wife. She'll be in there trying to keep Ellie from storming the stage. So hello. G'day, Darren, who I'm sure is awake, and yes, four or five coffees in this morning. Well, it's my privilege to continue our sermon series on the Great Commission. And today we're going to be looking at what's up behind me, which I see that some of you are already a little bit uncomfortable. Empowered for what is what we're looking at today. Yes, we are going to be looking at the day of Pentecost. We are going to be looking at the Holy Spirit. And buckle up, because we're going to have some fun doing it. I know Chris and Darren had a bit of a laugh when they asked me to preach this particular topic this morning. Some of you may be aware that I grew up in the Pentecostal church. So the Holy Spirit has always had an emphasis in my life. My father and my mum, who are here today, my dad always instilled the understanding that as a Christian, we should be led by the Spirit. We should be walking in alignment with the Holy Spirit. My grandparents are also here this morning. Great privilege I have to preach in front of them. And both of them are Pentecostal ministers. So I guess I was destined always to be on this stage talking about something that I should know a lot about. And I'm sure later on they will critique what I'm going to say today.
Someone will.
Definitely, someone will. Probably Sam. So the big question this morning, we want to chip to the next slide, is who is doing the empowering? We're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit this morning. And of course, growing up, there was a big emphasis on the Holy Spirit in my life. But as I got older, I started to talk to other people from different denominations, different backgrounds, and understood that, well, the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily play the same role in everyone's life that plays in my life. And their understanding or their positioning of the Holy Spirit in their life was not exactly the same as in my life. And for some people that I spoke to, the Holy Spirit was almost put in a little box to the side. Yes, he's a part of the Trinity, but he's kind of over there. For a lot of people, they kind of just put the Holy Spirit in the box that, well, he's the God of the charismatics. You know, we'll package him up, we'll put him in the corner, and the crazy happy clappers, they can have the Holy Spirit, we'll have the Father and the Son. The best analogy that I could come up with the way in which some people view the Holy Spirit is a little bit like Ringo Starr of the Beatles. So I'm not sure whether you guys are Beatles fan. I grew up as a father of a Beatles, well, my father's a Beatles fan, so obviously grew up as a Beatles fan. But Ringo Starr is almost seen a little bit like, yeah, he's part of the Beatles, but he's kind of not. You know, you got Paul McCartney, and you got John Lennon, and you got George Harrison, and you got Ringo Starr in the back. Okay, his songs were a little bit different. Okay, he's the singer of Yellow Submarine and Octopus's Garden. Really,
what
Ringo?
Well,
okay, he's got one then, one decent.
You prefer Pete Best.
Enough heckling in the background, thank you. But really, Octopus's Garden, I like to be under the sea with an Octopus's Garden in the shade. Really, Ringo, that's the best. He's the drummer, of course, so he's already got a different level anyway from the Beatles. You know, I remember there being an interview by Rolling Stone with the Beatles, and they asked, isn't Ringo Starr the greatest drummer in the world? John Lennon pipes up, he's not even the greatest drummer of the Beatles. And the way in which some Christians have spoken about the Holy Spirit, that's kind of their perspective. Yes, the Holy Spirit, like Ringo Starr, he's part of the group, but he's not really. You could sort of take him and leave him. He was the last one to enter, and you know, the greatest thing that Ringo Starr's done after the Beatles is Thomas the Tank Engine. The greatest thing that Ringo Starr... there we go, some fans in the building. Greatest thing that Ringo Starr has really going for him right now is that he's still alive. You know, the Holy Spirit to some people is like Ringo Starr. He's putting aside. But this morning, one of the things I really want to instill in us is that we've got to take him out of the corner. We've got to treat him not like Ringo Starr, but like a Paul McCartney. The Holy Spirit needs to be right there in the center as a part of our lives. As Christians, if we do not put the Holy Spirit on the vital position that he deserves to be, our lives as Christians will never be what God has called them to be. So I'm going to do a little bit of Holy Spirit 101 this morning. I don't have the 3 or 4 years that I probably need to go into it in detail. I've got about 5 minutes before I get into the rest of my sermon. So we could jump to the next slide. Okay, the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Bible is right there at the beginning in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, aka the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the waters. Okay, first thing, next slide please. First thing we need to understand is the Holy Spirit was there before the beginning. The Holy Spirit didn't just show up when people started speaking in tongues. Okay, the Holy Spirit was right there at the beginning, before the beginning, with the Father. And with the Son. The Son just hadn't come to earth yet. All there at the beginning. Next slide. Next thing we need to understand, the baptism. Okay, in those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John. I like to call him John the Baptizer. I know many people like to claim him as a Baptist. Look, I'm not sure his stance on congregational governance or on dancing, so we probably can't claim him as a Baptist, but he definitely was a baptizer. So John the Jordan, and when he came out of the water, that's Jesus, immediately he saw the heavens torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Holy Spirit right there in the middle, and a voice came from heaven. Look, I'd like to do a great Morgan Freeman voice. I think the best I can do is an Australian Ray Romano. You are my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Right there, next slide. In the Trinity, right there in the mix. Okay, he's not just off in the corner. The Holy Spirit is central in the Trinity. Next slide, thanks. The other key thing we need to understand about the Holy Spirit is he's not just the God of the charismatics. He's not just the God of the experiential, of the miracles. The Holy Spirit serves many functions, both seen and unseen. Without the Holy Spirit, no Christian can be a Christian, but no Christian can be what God has called them to be without that central figure of the Holy Spirit. Can we move to the next slide? Here is just some of the functions. I know it's a little bit small up there, but a quick skim of the Bible. Okay, there's some of the functions of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit teaches and reminds us. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Without that Holy Spirit functionality, we're still living in sin. Yes, God has saved us from that, but without the Holy Spirit putting his finger on areas of our life that we need to fix, as a Christian, we're never going to be what God has called us fully to be. The Holy Spirit dwells in believers and fills them. We're going to touch on that in a moment. The Holy Spirit is a source of revelation, wisdom, and power. There's that word, power. I don't know how many of you guys grew up with the song, you know, there is power, power, wonder-working power. Growing up, that was like the anthem of my youth. Power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to touch on that. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is a seal in the lives of believers. The Holy Spirit helps in times of weakness. The Holy Spirit makes believers new. And lastly, the Holy Spirit sanctifies and enables believers to bear good fruit. If you read that list, that's basically the life of a Christian. The Holy Spirit is right there along with us for the ride. If we do not acknowledge that role of the Holy Spirit, if we do not acknowledge that functionality of the Holy Spirit, how can we live the life as God has called us to live? All right, so that's Holy Spirit 101. Let's get a little bit more specific now. So next slide. Thanks, Leslie. We're talking about the Great Commission. That is the big overarching theme of January leading into February. In a couple of weeks, we're going to do our commissioning service. We get to pray for everyone going out into the world to be the church scattered. So what role does the Holy Spirit then have in the Great Commission? In us going and making disciples. Leslie, we can move to the next slide. We've got the Great Commission right here. Just as a reminder. And Jesus came and says, this is after the resurrection, before the ascension, Jesus talking to the disciples. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the who? Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded to you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. All right, so what role does the Holy Spirit have in us going and doing that thing. God has called us. He's given us a task. As believers, it is our job, or one of our jobs, to go out and make disciples, or to share that good news of Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, sacrifice for us. What role does the Holy Spirit have in that? Well, we first need to go all the way back into the Old Testament. Again, the Holy Spirit is not just a New Testament figure. Okay, we're going to go all the way back to the Old Testament. We're going to go to Exodus, which is the next slide. All right. Now, Israelites are in the desert. Okay, God has instructed Moses to build the tabernacle, Ark of the Covenant, all the altars, everything that comes with that. And we see here in Exodus 31, 1 to 5, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have called by name Bezalel.'" Man, you've got to love Old Testament names. Bezalel. Beza. "The son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with" what? "The Spirit of God." To do what? "The Spirit of God has filled him with the ability and intelligence, with the knowledge and craftsmanship to devise artistic designs," etc., etc. See, God has called our good mate Beza to do a task. He has called him to help design, to build this place where the Holy Spirit and God is going to dwell on earth. He didn't ask him to do that and then leave him to his own devices. God has called him to do a task. The Holy Spirit has come upon to empower him to do that task, with everything that good old mate Beza needed to do. I'm going to jump ahead to the next time. Holy Spirit comes upon someone. Let's move to the next slide. Fantastic. In Judges, okay, leading up to this verse, the Israelites have decided to turn away from God and start to do some evil ways. You're all pretty aware that that's a recurring theme in the Old Testament. So the Israelites are doing what they are doing. God has then led them into the hand of someone else to teach them a lesson. So then, but when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer from the people of Israel and saved them. Othniel, another great name, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the what? Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he judged Israel. Again, we have a situation where God has called someone to do a task, to deliver and to judge Israel. He again, didn't just leave him to his own devices. What did he do? The Holy Spirit came upon him in order for him to carry out that task. I hope you're starting to see a theme here. Next slide. All right, 1 Samuel 10:10. Okay, we have Saul, who just prior to this has been called by God to go and do what we're about to see him do. "When they came to Gibeah," so that's Saul and his mates, "behold, a great group of prophets met him," and what? "The Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them." See, earlier in that chapter, God had called Saul to do just that, to prophesy. But again, didn't leave Saul to his own devices. Didn't say, "All right, off you go, in your own strength, in your own wisdom, whatever you think is best, go and do." No, the Holy Spirit, again, came upon in order for Saul to do what God had called him to do. So that's how the Holy Spirit operated in the Old Testament. Let's move to the next slide. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came, he always empowered individuals to complete a task. Whether it be Bezalel, who was empowered to go and build the tabernacle, or the many different judges throughout the book of Judges, throughout the history of Israel, or whether it be the prophets, anytime God calls someone or raises someone up to do a task, the Holy Spirit comes upon. Never is someone called and left to their own devices. Never does God say, "You know what, off you go, good luck, Godspeed, have fun, knock yourself out." The Holy Spirit always comes, always empowers, gives that person, that individual, exactly what they need to do the task. So, let's move forward. So what is the role again of the Holy Spirit in the Great Commission? Next slide. I'm going to reword this a little bit, just to make it a little bit more relevant to you and me. How does the Holy Spirit help me, help you, do what God has called you to do? Now, remembering that the Great Commission is for all of us as believers, for us to go into all the nations, okay, and preach and teach and lead people to the gospel. Let's jump ahead. So, the Great Commission was given by Jesus before the ascension. For a lot of people, though, the Great Commission kind of ends in this first part where Jesus says, go and make disciples. But there is a second part which is vitally important for the actual carrying out of the Great Commission. And that's here. And while staying with them, he, that's Jesus, ordered them, the disciples, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Let's jump ahead to the next slide. This is Acts 1:8. Again, but you will receive, this is Jesus speaking, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Next slide. Thanks, Leslie. So Jesus has given the Great Commission. Okay, these disciples have spent the last 3 and a bit years with Jesus. They've seen him preach, teach. They've seen him do miracles, raise people from the dead, heal the blind, heal the sick, walk on water, create food out of nowhere, which for many of us is probably the greatest miracle. You know, this, they've seen Jesus do these things. They've seen him die on the cross. They've seen him raised up. They've seen him be resurrected and to continue to preach and teach. They're ready to go. These disciples, even doubting Thomas, he's good to go. No more doubts. He's on board with the team. But yet Jesus says, whoa, whoa, yes, I'm doing, you got to do this thing, but you got to wait. You got Peter, who's going to have the church built on him. He's good to go. He wants to go preach and teach. He wants to go do what God's called him to do. But if any of those disciples attempted to go and do what God had called them to do without that second part of the discussion, without the Holy Spirit, without the empowering, without the boldness that the Holy Spirit brings, without the words, the wisdom, the direction, the prompting that the Holy Spirit gives, doesn't matter what the disciples have seen, experienced before, it would never be to the standard which God wants that to be. They'll never be able to complete that task fully without that second part, without the Holy Spirit. Let's move on. So when God calls us, he does not intend us to use it for us to use our own strength. When Jesus, through the word, speaks to you, which is what he's doing through the word of God, and says, go and make disciples, he's not saying, Sam, go into the hospital and have a chat, but do it on your own. He's not saying, Owie, go to the coffee shop and have a chat, but just use your own words and good luck. That's not how God operates. When God calls us, he empowers us with the Holy Spirit. Not to do it on our own, but with God literally living in us, empowering us to do the task at hand. Next slide. So, we arrive at the day of Pentecost, the exciting part. This is the fun part. This is the Pentecostals name their entire denomination after this. They're not just into the number 5, they're into the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together. So they did what God had instructed them. They're all waiting in the upper room. They killed a bit of time by picking another disciple, but they're waiting, chomping at the bit, ready to do what God's called them to do. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like rushing wind. Rushing wind, by the way, is another terminology for the Holy Spirit. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. Crazy experience. Kids, keep moving. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I just want to pause there for a moment. Okay, this becomes a little bit of a divisive, bit of a controversial moment in the New Testament. Okay, in this particular instance, the tongues that they're speaking are literal other languages. Okay, there are times later on in the New Testament where it talks about angelic tongues. We're not going to touch on that today. Okay, but in this particular moment, they're given other languages. Now, they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews. That's generally where they dwell. But devout men from every nation under heaven. So the day of Pentecost, as written in the Bible, is what it was called after it happened. Okay, it's us, like us calling Christmas Day, Christmas Day. Okay, when Christmas Day actually happened, it was probably just a Tuesday, that's what they called it. Okay, but the day of Pentecost is named after the fact. Now, why these guys were actually meeting is because at the time it was a minor feast, minor festival in the Jewish calendar. Okay, even though it was minor, it was part of a pilgrimage festival. So at this time, Jews from all around the world came to Jerusalem to experience this feast and festival. So that's why there's all these different guys from different nations here. And at this sound, a multitude came together. So they heard the rushing wind, they heard in this upper room, all these random blokes start speaking in all these different languages. They came and had a look. And they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Next slide. And they were amazed and astonished and said, are not all these guys from Galilean? That's like saying, aren't these blokes from Warwick? What are they doing speaking some far-off dialect of Mandarin? What are they doing speaking some South American language that only three blokes in the Amazon are speaking? You know, this guy from Warwick, he's speaking French, German, and Spanish, Russian. You know, what is going on? These guys aren't the hoi polloi of society. They're not learned men. They're not scribes. These are just random fishermen. What are they doing speaking language? They were bewildered. How is that that we can hear of us in our own native tongue? Now, it's at this point that I believe that certain people put too much emphasis on the miraculous and not enough emphasis on the practical. Yes, it is an amazing moment of history. Yes, the Holy Spirit is coming for the first time to dwell in all believers. This is an amazing moment in the life of not just the Bible, the church, but in all the world. Okay, it is the moment that we as Christians can look back on and go, yes, that gift from God, that's still living in me now. Yes, it is an amazing, miraculous moment. There was a miracle took place. They were speaking in other tongues. Crazy. Okay, if I started randomly speaking in Spanish, everyone would be amazed. It's important. I don't want to underemphasize that, but let's look at the practical. The Holy Spirit empowered them to do what? To start speaking to all the nations. Yes, it's a miracle, but the miracle isn't just a miracle in itself. It is the first time in this new era of the Holy Spirit that he came and dwelt in all of us and then automatically, first thing, empowered them to start doing what God called them to do. To go and make disciples of all the nations. Luckily, all the nations were there with them at the time. It's just almost like the Holy Spirit had a plan or something. But it is what the Holy Spirit has empowered them to do is the miracle. We see throughout Acts in the New Testament, if you want to jump forward, there are times where the Holy Spirit now living and dwelling in each of these disciples and those who are saved, the Holy Spirit continues to work within them to go and do what God has called them to do. Emboldened by the Holy Spirit, they preached, the disciples went and started preaching. And in these times, particularly Acts 4:8, where it specifically says the Holy Spirit emboldened the person to go and preach. All right, number two, empowered by the Holy Spirit. They were speaking the truth. They would go out with boldness, with courage, with the right words at the right time to the right people to speak the truth. And throughout the New Testament, Acts and onwards, the Holy Spirit continues to prompt and give direction. Again, not just for its own sake, but so that the disciples and then for all believers can continue to do what God has called them to do. Can we move on to the next slide? So the fact is, we have been called. You and I, as Christians, as believers, have been called. And believe me, I'm not just preaching this at you, I'm preaching it at me as well, because all believers need a reminder of this. We have been called. This is not just the Great Commission for the guy sitting next to me. It's not just the Great Commission for the guy on the stage or the guy on TV or the guy who's a people person. The Great Commission is for every single one of us as believers to go and make disciples of all the nations. Not just that, we've been equipped with the word. If you want to know how to go do that, here it is. Here's the manual. Time and time again, people in this book have gone and done what God has called them to do. Not in their own strength, not in their own ability, not because they know best, but because God is with them throughout. And we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and do it. You know, I almost entitled this sermon, What's Your Excuse? I thought that may have been a bit harsh. But to be honest, that's the question that I have to ask myself. And if you want to ask it for yourself, go ahead. But what's your excuse? You know, I have been called by God. I read the scriptures, and that's not just for someone back 2,000 years ago. That's for me. I have been called. I have been equipped. Heck, I've lived my entire life in the church with amazing ministers, with amazing people, with parents who are Christian, with grandparents who are Christian. I have no excuse. I have all the equipping. There is people planting churches of thousands and hundreds of thousands with less theological understanding than I do. And lastly, but most importantly, I have been empowered. The Holy Spirit, yes, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in me. I don't have to be a great speaker. I don't have to be a people person because, to be honest, I'm not. It may be a surprise to some of you. I'm not. You know, I don't have the right words all the time or even the courage to speak or the right direction of where to go or whatever. Guess what? I don't have to. For so many of us, that's the excuse. Oh, I'm an introvert. Well, guess what? As Christians, you don't get the luxury. Oh, I don't know what to say, or oh, I'm not good with my words. Guess what? As a Christian, we do not have the luxury. We don't get the excuse to not know where to go or not know what to say or who to say to what or what to do, because the Holy Spirit is living within us. It's His job to do that. All we have to do is take a step, is to align ourselves with the calling that God has put in our lives and start enacting in it. Now, in my job as a teacher, I get to have lots and lots of fun discussions with a whole group of people who are not quite Christians yet. I don't like to say non-Christians. They're going to be Christians at some point I'm going to work my butt off to see it happen at least. Every single morning I get in my car and my routine is this. I chuck on the same exact song, which is Spirit in the Sky. I don't know if you guys know it. It's a great banger. From the 60s and 70s, you guys are starting to get my musical taste, aren't you? I put that on and this guitar goes, you know, dun, 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 dun. And mind you, it's only 700 meters from my house to the school. But anyway, I get to have a bit of the song and I pray. I pray that the Holy Spirit gives me the wisdom that day. The Holy Spirit allows me to have conversations with this student or that student, that when that student decides to be a not-so-fun person that day, or as I like to call them, a goose, that God and the Holy Spirit empowers me with the grace and love and the right words to say at the right time. I'm not going to school thinking, you know what, I've got this. I'll do it all my strength. All these kids are going to get saved because of who I am. As soon as you walk into your workplace like that, then you're in for trouble. The fact is, I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and do those things. I don't have to have the right words. I don't have to be graceful in my own self because I'm not. It's the Holy Spirit's job to empower me to do that. And believe me, every day that I have that conversation with God before I start the day is far better than the days I don't. Now, that's not some supernatural thing I do in my car. I'm not chanting or jumping around or whatever. Some people sort of think of the Holy Spirit as, I don't have to march around the building with a flag, which I've done, by the way. It's good fun. Recommend it. It's just a prayer and then go do. Don't mystify what doesn't need to be mystified. Don't put a shroud of supernatural to excuse yourself from not enacting in it. The Holy Spirit's already in you. Guess what? You're already working in the supernatural. Surprise! You just have to start doing. And the question again that I ask myself, and feel free to ask yourself the same question, we have a town out the side of this building and all around us that is crying out for a savior, crying out for life that we have. What's my excuse? Why am I not sharing? Why am I not going? Why am I not asking the Holy Spirit to embolden me, to empower me, to get the next conversation or the next person? Because I don't know about you, but some days I walk through this town and it feels like the valley of dry bones. And I can walk and ignore, or I can speak and breathe life into those dry bones, into that valley. I don't have to be Ezekiel. I don't have to be a great prophet. I just have to be me, empowered by the Spirit. When you walk into your workplace tomorrow, or your school in a couple of weeks' time, or your family situation, or your favorite cafe, or wherever God has placed you, you just have to be you. Just bring the Holy Spirit along for the ride. That's it. It's not mystical. It's not crazy out there, supernatural. You don't have to be a charismatic. You just have to be called by God. Guess what? You are. You just have to be equipped by the teaching of the Word. Guess what? You just did. And you have to be empowered by the Spirit. And guess what? The Holy Spirit's already living inside you. You're already good to go. No more excuses. Amen. Amen. Evan, do you want to bring the band up? Let's pray together. Lord, I just want to thank you that your Holy Spirit is dwelling inside us. Thank you that you've called us, that you've decided to use us to be your hands and feet on this earth. You've chosen us to be missionaries in our workplaces, in our schools, in our community groups, and wherever you've placed us, you've called us to that. We want to thank you for that amazing call, that we can partner with you and be a part of that experience, Lord. We just pray that as we go into those places, that you give us the words to say, the strength, the boldness, the courage to speak up, the words and the insight needed to start touching the lives of those around us. We just pray that as we step into our world, that the Holy Spirit is with us in all that we do. We thank you for these things, Lord. We pray in your holy name. Amen.